Jeremiah chapter 15. While you're turning there, I want you to think about this. You know, in this country, they've pretty much taken the Bible out of government, taken it out of schools. And if it were possible, I have no doubt that they would try to take the Bible out of our homes and out of our churches. You know, the Bible or the world doesn't want the Bible's influence. Or authority around. They don't want it. They're not interested in what it says, and they don't want people teaching it and preaching it. Sad to say that there are even Christians today who do not reverence the Word of God like they should. There are a lot of Christians today that think it's no more than just a book. They think that it's no more than just a good book on psychology or the best way to live right or you know, things like that. But it's far more than that. I mean, it is the Word of God. And the Bible says that we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, does it make sense if the Lord said, thy word is truth, does it make sense that when we worship Him, the Word of God should be associated with that? Amen? I mean, how can you worship Him in word and in truth when His and not have the Word of God, which is truth? So that makes sense. We are to worship the Lord with the Word of God, and that means that hearing and preaching and doing the Word of God is an act of worship on our part. You worship God by reading the Bible. You worship God by not just reading it, but doing what it tells you to do. Amen? In fact, it's just as much an act to worship by listening and responding to God's Word as it is to sing a hymn, as it is to do anything else. And you're not to worship the preacher. A preacher's just a messenger. A preacher worth his salt is just going to be the person that tells you what the Word of God says and then let you do something with that. Amen? Not try to make you do something, but to tell you this is what God wants you to do and let you and God work it out. That's what it's supposed to be. And so we're not to worship the preacher. You're to worship the God who gives you His Word by listening and responding to what God has to say. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 15, I want you to look at verse 16 this morning. And I want to show you some things about worshiping God and or with the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 15, in verse 16, it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, this verse helps us understand worshiping God with the Word of God, both when it's read and when it's preached in church, and even when we're just reading it on our own. It's talking about how the Word of God should affect us, how we should feel about the Word of God. And notice here, first of all, that you see the discovery of the Word of God. Now, this verse starts off by saying, thy words were found. Thy words were found. You know, we've all found things or learned things that have helped us and educated us and even thrilled us when we're reading the Word of God. How many of you have ever been sitting there reading the Bible and then all of a sudden you just come across that little passage there and it just spoke to your heart the second you read it. And you're like, wow. Or how about this? How many of you ever read the Word of God and all of a sudden you saw something that you've read that verse 100 times, you never saw it before, and all of a sudden you got it, like the light came on. You know how thrilled you are? I call those nuggets. I love nuggets. You know, and you get those little nuggets there that just jump out there, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, hey, I want to show you something new in the Scriptures. See, that's what makes the Bible different than other books. You know, you pick up Charlotte's Web, and you read Charlotte's Web. You know what? Once you read it one time, you've got it. It's not going to change. Amen? I mean, that's why. It's just a book. But the Bible's the living Word of God. You see, it's layered. You read it today, you'll get something out of it. You read it a year from now, you keep on reading it, keep on reading it, keep on reading it. A year from now, you'll get something different out of it. Right. Now, if you don't believe that, then I'm going to challenge you. Go back to some of your old Bibles that you have that you took notes and read those notes and compare them to the notes that you have in the Bible that you have now. See the difference. I'll tell you something. A long time ago, I decided I'm going to go back and I'm going to transfer all my notes from my old Bible and you know that way I'll have them all. And I went back and I read them like, well, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Why? Because the Lord shows you something, and he shows you something more, and he shows you something more. That's you growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's layered, it's living. And sometimes we see these little discoveries that we get in the Bible that thrill us. And tell you the truth, I don't think there's a greater discovery to make than to discover the things spoken of by God. I think that's the greatest discovery that a person can make. You know, some people, they want to discover gold and they want to discover all these different things, artifacts. But boy, what is better than discovering something in the Word of God? You say, well, why do you say that? Well, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to show you why. Why it's great to discover something in the Word of God. Every time that you discover something in the Word of God, it has an impact on you. God uses His words to do something within you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, these are verses that everybody, I mean, most of us know these verses. We hear them quoted all the time. But it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You say, what's that? That means they're God's words. Okay, now, God didn't pen them, but they're God's words. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and what they spake was written down, and that's where you get scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable, so it has a profit to it. In other words, it's going to profit you for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's profitable for teaching us doctrine. It's profitable for reprimanding us for our own good. That's reproof. It's profitable for changing us. That's correction. Whenever we do something wrong, it says, you're doing something wrong. You need to do it right. It's profitable for helping us to live godly lives, instruction in righteousness. And Paul tells us that we should want to discover God's Word. Every time that you discover something in the Word of God, you know what it's doing? It's either correcting you, it's either reproving you, it's either teaching you something how to live, it's giving you correct doctrine. That's what it's doing. Every time you get something out of the Word of God, that's the impact it has upon you. And Paul says that we should want to discover God's Word because following it will make us perfect. Now that doesn't mean perfect like I'm perfect and you have flaws. We all have flaws, amen? But when it's talking about perfect in the Bible, it's talking about perfecting us. It's, in other words, it helps us to grow. It helps us to become more like Christ. And one of these days, when you are as He is, then you will be perfect, but it won't be on this side of eternity. But on this side of eternity, as you're reading the Word of God and you start to discover things, it's teaching you, it's correcting you in righteousness, it's reproving you, it's doing these things, and it has a work within you that's making you become more and more like Christ, like you're supposed to be. And that's what it's talking about when it says that we are to be perfect. It also equips us to be ready to do good works, which God wants us to do. Amen? I mean, think about this. The more you read your Bible and the more you do what the Bible tells you to do, does it make sense that you're going to be doing good works, more good works? Does it make sense that you'll be more Christ-like? Amen. That's what it does. But at the same time, the discoveries we're making God's Word are not always pleasant. How many of you know that? You know, sometimes we get it and we're like, wow, amen. Sometimes we read it and we go, uh-oh, because it has something to say. And it's not always positive. Amen? It's not always positive. Sometimes it isn't pleasant. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 22, and I'll give you an example. And I'll give you an example of somebody that was showed something in God's Word that it was not very pleasant. 2 Kings chapter 22, look if you would at verse 10. It says, 2 Kings 22, 10, it says, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah a servant of the king saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. May I tell you that when he read that, he saw what God, how God feels about the sin, how God feels about disobedience, and he knew that, hey, we're in trouble. That, in other words, when he read the word of God there, it was reproof. It was obviously his instruction in righteousness because it says you need to get right. So he says, go inquire of the Lord for me because according to this book, God doesn't like sin. He's going to judge sin, and we're sinning. And so it was not a very pleasant thing. So he was convicted, he was sorrowed by what he discovered in God's word. And he responded and he did something about it. And if you approach God's book as an act of worship, then you're going to make discoveries as well. But when you make those discoveries, you need to do something about it. That's the reason that one of the most important things that you'll ever do, that Bible says that be not hearers only of the word of God, but be doers of the word of God. It is not enough just to read it. A lot of people read their Bible, but not everybody. But, you know, if there are Christians today that read their Bible, they should be reading it more. They would know the difference between right and wrong more. But listen, just reading your Bible isn't going to help you. You have to be a doer of it. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but it's not just reading it that's going to make you mature, it's going to make you conform to Christ. It's you actually doing what the Bible tells you to do. And that's something that a lot of Christians miss. They think, well, as long as I just read it, I'm good. No, you have to do what it tells you to do. If it says this is a sin, don't do it, then don't do it. Amen? But it's not enough for you to sit there and say, well, that's a sin, but then you do it anyway. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees knew what the Word of God said, but they went and did it anyway. And so the Lord, when you read there in the Gospels, the Lord came up to the Pharisees and said, you know, you're convicting people of being an adulterer, but you're an adulterer yourself. In other words, they weren't doing what the Word of God told them to do. And sometimes there are a lot of Christians today that do the same thing. And so you'll make discoveries of the Word of God, whether it be at home or at church or wherever else you read it, but you got to make sure that you're doing what the word of God tells you to do, and you have to make sure that you obey what the word of God says, and that's how you worship God with the word of God. That's how you worship Him in truth. Okay, now you say, well, how about those sermons that I hear preachers preach, and I just don't get anything out of them? I mean, how am I supposed to do it then? Well, I'll admit to you that not every sermon that's preached is a gem, amen? I mean, there have been times that, you know, everybody's got different taste in preachers, amen? I mean, some people like preachers that are soft-spoken. Some people like preachers that sweat and slobber and jump up on pews, you know? I mean, everybody has a different style, you know? And there are some styles that really hold my attention. There are some styles that really does not hold my attention very well. But I've come to learn that that's probably more the devil than it is me. Well, it's me too. It's probably more me. But the thing is this. If I know a person's a very soft-spoken preacher, I will pray before that service ever starts, say, Lord, show me something. Amen? Amen. Why? Because in my mind, I'm already thinking, this guy's going to put me to sleep. So I asked the Lord, Lord, show me something. And you know what? The Lord always comes through. He always comes through. Even if it's just a verse that, you know, how many of you have been, I don't know if I want you to answer this, no. But how many of you have ever been, while the preacher's preaching and you're sitting there reading that verse and all of a sudden your eyes kind of drift over and you see another verse and you're like, whoa, I never saw that before. And it has nothing to do with what the preacher even is preaching. Amen? It happens to all of us. You know, when you pray and you say, Lord, show me something, listen, the Lord doesn't have to show you something necessarily by the preacher. He can show you something any way He wants to in the Word of God, amen? And so if your eyes happen to drift over and you see something else, I'm not mad at you, as long as the Lord spoke to you. Amen? And so that's the way the Lord does it sometimes. And so I want to encourage us this, is even though the preaching may just be boring and you feel like, hey, I'm just going to fall asleep, pray and ask the Lord to show you something. And He will. It may not be the way you expect it. Amen? I've sat there and listened to preachers preach, and just one statement that he made, or one point that he made out of the Word of God, hit me so hard that really I don't remember the rest of them. But that's still God speaking to me. Amen? And so when it comes to the Word of God, there we see the discovery of the Word of God. We also see in this verse the digestion of the Word of God there in Jeremiah. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." You know, every Sunday and Wednesday, whether it be by me or by the Sunday school teachers, we work at serving up the Word of God for the people of this church. And we study and labor in the Word of God. We receive things from the Holy Spirit, and we give it to you. And the Bible calls that feeding the sheep. Now, that's something that, as a pastor, I'm going to be held responsible for on Judgment Day. Is, did I feed the sheep? And what did I feed the sheep? Did I feed the sheep my opinions? If I do, you're not going to grow. But if I feed you the Word of God, then you'll grow. Amen? But it's your responsibility to digest the Word of God. In other words, you know, if I'm out there feeding animals, I can take food and I can lay it there all day long. But if you don't eat it, it's not going to help you out very much, right? And I can't make you eat it. I can't make a horse eat hay. I can't make, you know, animals eat their food. I can't make them do that. But it is my responsibility to feed them. And may I tell you this, one of the biggest sorrows that preachers have, in my opinion, is that when they preach the Word of God, and then they see people sit there and look at them like, amen, amen, and then they don't do anything about it. And they just go on about their lives. It's like you offer the food to them, but they don't digest it at all. They just look at you. Blank stares. Give you an occasional amen. Walk up to you after you're done and say, boy, that was a great sermon. But they don't do anything about it. That's the part that is a great sorrow amongst preachers. It is your responsibility to digest the Word of God that is set before you. And here's some, I just want to give you some practical ways to digest the Word of God. Number one, before you even come to church, before you ever read your Bible, before you ever sit down and open up the book and start reading it, you know what you need to do? You need to pray. And when you pray, you need to ask immediately, confess your sins before the Lord and say, Lord, if there's anything between you and me, Lord, I'm sorry. Show me the sins I've committed I haven't confessed, and confess those things. Get a clean slate. And then, if you have any problems with me or the person that comes into this pulpit before you get to church that morning, get it straightened out. But before you ever listen to me preach, just get it straightened out. Lay it on the table. You know why? Because I'm a much better preacher in your eyes if you're not angry at me. Amen? I mean, if you're sitting here and you're just fuming at me, you're probably not going to listen to a word I say. So just, you know, when you get here in a very loving sort of way, maybe take me to a room and just, you know, if you got to just lay it out. Because honestly, I'd rather you lay it on the table and then get something out of the message than me being right or wrong. It doesn't matter. And then also, before the preaching starts or before you read the Word of God, pray that God will show you something. And then pay attention when the preaching starts. You know, the devil will always try to get you focused on something else. You know, if there's a spot on the wall or a spider crawling on the wall, of course, if I saw a spider on the wall, the preaching, I mean, I'm wasting my time listening to the preacher because I'm going to be focusing on him, you know. But, you know, you need to pay attention. Whatever it is that the devil tries to get you focused on, you need to put it aside and understand that the preaching of the Word of God is the most important part of the service. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. I could camp out there all day long. There are churches today that think the singing is the most important part of the service. It is not. It is not. The preaching is the most important part of the service. There are churches today that have 45 minutes of singing, 15 minutes of preaching. It should be the other way around. Amen? Why? Because you're not going to grow by the singing, but you will grow by the Word of God. All right, and then another thing that you need to do is be open to what the Scripture actually says, not what the preacher is telling you it says. Be open to what it actually says. Then after that, be submissive. In other words, if there's a conflict between the Word of God and what you're doing or thinking, you know who's right, and it isn't you. Right? If the Word of God says it's wrong, it really doesn't matter what you think about it. I mean, I know that's blunt, but that's just the way things are. If God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. Then, meditate on the Word of God after you read the Word of God or after you hear a sermon. I would encourage you to take notes. And then go meditate on those things. And listen, don't meditate on the notes you took from me. Meditate on those scriptures. Think about them. Think about what they're saying. Think about how it applies to you. And then, in your spare time, memorize the Word of God. If you can. I know it's hard, especially the older you get. I'm telling you, there are things I can memorize when I was younger a whole lot easier than I can today. I don't know why. A lot of stuff is up there now. It's all scrambled. Amen? And so that's what you need to do, and that'll help you digest the Word of God. And in a Bible, you know, the bottom line is this. If you don't read your Bible, it's not going to do you any good. You got to read it. When the pastor says, turn over this the passage, turn over there and look at what it says. Keep me honest. You're here, you should keep me honest, but that's not the main reason. Now there are some preachers or some people that all they do is wait to see if the pastor says something wrong, and they follow him up. Oh, he missed a word. You know, there are a lot of people like that. I hope you're not like that, because the purpose is not to try to catch me into saying something wrong. There are going to be many times I misspeak. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. But your purpose here, listen, keep me honest, but really, you need to listen to the sermon for you, not to try to catch me. Amen? And so those are some of the things. But I want to encourage you to read your Bible. You know, when you go to a gym, you see treadmills and you see weights and you see all these different things to help a person get in shape. Amen? Now, me personally, I think that probably I need to spend more time in the gym. Especially after this week, because I did some exercises, and I couldn't even lift my leg for like 2 days. I probably need to go to the gym more now. But, you know, there are a lot of things there in the gym to help you get in shape, machines and stuff. But does it make sense if you never go to the gym, you probably are not going to get in shape? Or if you're not doing something physically, you're probably never going to get in shape. If all you do is just lay there, then you're probably not going to get in shape at all. Well, listen, how can you grow if you just let the Bible sit there? If you just let the Bible sit there and have collect dust, how is that helping you? It's not. Do you realize the greatest book ever written is that Bible? And that Bible, the Lord left that Bible for His children to read, to grow, to feed. But if you're just going to let it sit there, it's not going to help you out at all. And you know, sometimes we think that we've grown and we're so spiritually mature, but we never read the book. Part of the reason that you think that you're spiritually mature right now is probably because you haven't been reading the book. Why? Because the person who's been reading that Bible is going to find out that he doesn't know anything. He's going to find out that he's got a long ways to go before he gets spiritually mature. Everybody, me too. I'll tell you something, the more I read that Bible, the more I find out that, you know what, I don't know anything. See, I thought I knew something until I actually opened it up and started reading it, and I don't know anything. Amen? Because just when I think I got a handle on it, the Lord throws me another curveball. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't get it. And I start studying that, and I was like, okay, I got it. Then I go to the next verse, and like, I don't understand it. You say, that never happens to me? Read the book of Ezekiel and come talk to me. Amen? Or the book of Zechariah. And after you read those things, well, let's just discuss about this woman flying around on a manhole cover. Or that roll going from house to house. Let's discuss those things and see what you got, okay? Listen, the bottom line is this, is we are to read and we're to study, and we're never going to reach perfection on this side of eternity. You're always going to have questions in the Bible. That's the reason I tell you that, listen, you can ask questions, I'm going to try to answer them. But quite frankly, I don't know if I can or not. Why? Because the Lord hasn't revealed to me everything. The Lord hasn't revealed to you everything. The Lord hasn't revealed to anybody everything. So what do? We keep on studying. We keep on asking the Lord to show us something. We keep on digesting the Word of God. We need to make sure we read it, though. We need to make sure that we open it up. We also see not only the digestion of the Word of God, but we see the delight of the Word of God. Back in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." You know, there are some things that bring joy and rejoicing to my heart. But of all the things that I rejoice over, all those things should be second to the Lord and His word. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this. If you get happy and you're rejoicing and you're full of joy over something more than you are the Word of God and the Lord Himself, there's probably something wrong. You say, "Oh, it never happens." It never happens to Christians. All the time. Can we tell you how I can prove it? Watch Christians when they're watching the Super Bowl. Watch Christians when their favorite team is playing sports and they win a championship. You watch how they react. I mean, I've been there. I mean, sports today don't mean to me what it used to be. There was a time I was so into sports that I would sulk for a week if my team lost. I mean, I would just be in a bad mood. That's ridiculous. Why? Because every one of those people that were playing back in the time when I was so excited about it, they all grow old, and now they're just like me. They have troubles, you know, they wake up and they got creaks and everything else, and you can't even recognize them. These were the people that I held up as heroes 20 years ago. You know what happens to them? The same thing that happens to everybody else. They grow old. And nobody remembers them anymore. They're just people. We get too excited about those things, but that's another sermon. But what I'm trying to say is this. There are people today that will scream and holler and get really excited about that football team or about that basketball team or about this team or that team. They'll get really excited about it, but then they don't get excited at all about the Word of God. They don't get excited at all about the Lord. They don't get excited at all when somebody gets led to the Lord. Something wrong with that. You know what it says here? It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Listen, the Word of God should be the thing that you rejoice in more than anything else. Why? Because those are God's words to you. I remember when I was in the military, I was overseas, and I had already met my wife. And I was in a place, I'm trying to remember, a really windy place. I don't remember now, but it was off the coast of Belgium. I could tell you that. But anyway, I was there, and it was actually a pretty nice place. But, you know, I kind of wanted to be home because I'd already proposed to my wife. And so when she wrote me letters, I still remember. Actually, the other day I found my bag with all my military gear in it. I looked down the bottom of it, and I found some of her letters. She doesn't know that, but I'll tell you anyway. But, you know, I read them now and there. I get a great joy of it. But let me tell you, when I got those letters back then, and I saw that return address, I knew who it was from. And, boy, I could not wait to open it. And I'd open that thing, and I mean, I hung on every word. I'm like, whoa. That's how we should be with the Lord's word, too. We should hang on every word of it. We should look forward to reading it. We should love it. It should be a rejoicing to us, a joy to us to read it. A lot of people, they think that reading the Word of God is like, "Oh, I have to read tonight. I don't feel like it." Something wrong there. You say, "Yeah, but it's Leviticus." Doesn't matter. There's something in there. I don't believe there's anything in there for Leviticus. Pray over it before you read it. You'll get something out of it. Amen? You say, "Well, how about all those endless genealogies there?" And you'll start reading, in the book of Chronicles. How about them? Well, I tell you what, you pray over it and you get something. I don't believe that, Pastor. I did, because when you start to read the genealogies of Jesus In the book of Matthew, you'll see something very, very interesting about a man's name that's not mentioned there, that's left out, and why. You say, which one's that one? I'm not going to tell you. You can study it yourself. Amen? But hey, you know what? The Lord will show you something. The Word of God should be our delight. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love thy law. Psalm 119:162 says, I rejoice at thy word. Psalm 119:129 says, thy testimonies are wonderful. That's the way we should feel. Now, turn if you would over to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. And in Psalm chapter 19, the scripture gives us a detailed list of what the Bible's good for. Now, we know it's good for reproof and for correction in righteousness and for doctrine. We know all those things. But there are some other things that the Bible tells us that it's good for. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, look if you would at verse 7. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm chapter 19. That's not the whole verse. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Let's see. Psalm chapter 19. Second half of the verse. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Not 119, 19. In verse 7. Second half of the verse. Says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In other words, it makes simple folks like us wise, or it can make simple folks like us wise. I'm not saying we're simpletons, but what I'm saying is this. You don't need a college education to understand the Word of God. You don't. There are people today that says, well, that pastor there, he's got like 4 or 5 doctorates in, you know, in theology. Boy, what he says, it must be true. No. Listen, I've been to churches, honestly, I've been to churches where, you know, they had like a preacher's meeting. And honestly, they come up there and they say, well, we'd like to introduce you Dr. So-and-such and Dr. So-and-such. This is Dr. So-and-such and Dr. So-and-such. This is Dr. So-and-such. And I'm sitting there thinking, am I in a hospital or am I in a church? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I am saying is this, just because this person has a doctor of this or a master's of that, that doesn't mean anything. What that means is this, somebody gave an award for studying the Bible. That's what it means. But it doesn't mean that he knows more than you because you don't have the degree. Why? Because the Holy Spirit teaches you the Word of God based on where you're at and where you need to be. Right. See, that's how it works. And so, listen, there are preachers today who say, well, I've got a doctorate, so I'm the man you need to ask for the answers. No, I'll tell you right now that there is some of you that know things that I don't know about your Bible right now. And there are some things that I know that you don't know. Why? Because I'm at a certain level of spirituality and you're at a certain level of spirituality and the Lord's only going to reveal the things to you based on where you're at and where you need to be. Listen, there are some passages that when you read it, you're like, okay, I get that. And then when I ask a question about it, and you say, well, this is what, look, it's right there. It's right there in Scripture. I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see it. You know why that is? Because the Holy Spirit ain't going to reveal it to you until you're ready for it. Amen? Right. And it doesn't matter how many times you've got a doctorate. The Lord doesn't care about the doctrine. That's the way it works. And so it makes wise the simple. And I tell you what, that's a good thing. Because I tell you what, there was a, you know, you realize the Roman Catholic Church to this day says that you cannot understand that Bible, that it's not open to private interpretation, that only those that were succeeded from apostles could possibly teach you anything. That's the reason they didn't allow people to have Bibles for years. But the Bible says it makes wise the simple. Verse 8. Part of that verse says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In other words, it gives us discernment. It shows us what really is right and what really is wrong. Not what the world says is really right and wrong. And then verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. God's word inspires us to godly fear. Listen, there is no way that you could read your Bible through and through, over and over, and not get some sort of fear of the Lord. There's no way. Listen, just what I'm going to be preaching on during the worship service should make people fear. Verse 9 says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In other words, it's trustworthy. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and of the honeycomb. It's more valuable to us than anything else on this earth. The word of God is more valuable to us than anything else on this earth. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You know, all the way through your Bible, you're going to find warnings. Amen? Warnings about not living the way God wants you to live. Warnings about committing, doing this and doing that. And warnings about one of these days. You know, let me tell you one of the biggest warnings that you'll find in that Bible, and it's really subtle. It's true. All the Bible's true, but it's really subtle. Let me tell you what I think one of the biggest warnings in that Bible is. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's a pretty big warning sign right there, isn't it? You know what the problem is? Is there are a lot of people today who think they ain't going to die. I don't believe that. I thought that way when I was a teenager. I thought I had the big old S on my chest. I'm not going to die. I'm Superman. I'm young. Yeah, nobody thinks they are. Everybody thinks death is just for the old people that hit, you know, in the 90s and the body starts to give out. No, listen, most people die long before that. Amen? Big warning in the Bible. It gives us warnings. And not only that, but it also, if you look at verse 11, it says, in keeping them there is great reward. If you read the Bible and do what it tells you to do, there's great rewards for you. The Bible becomes a joy and rejoice in your heart. And when that happens, you're going to want to read it. You're going to want to hear it preached. You're going to want to remember what it says and think about it. In Jeremiah 15, 16, we see the discovery of the Word of God. We see the digestion of the Word of God. We see the delight of it. And then also, the last thing we see is the distinction of the Word of God. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know why the Word of God should be a joy and rejoicing to you? Because if you're a Christian, it's because of who you are. Because you're a Christian. Jeremiah says that he was called by God's name. In other words, he belonged to God. And if you belong to God and you're called this morning, you're called by his name, by God the Son's name. Christ. In other words, if you belong to God, you're a Christian. Amen? I mean, Christian in the biblical sense of the meaning of the word, not what the world calls Christians today. How many of you know that there are people today that they say they're Christians and they're not Christians? They do not follow Jesus Christ. They have not obeyed the gospel which is in that Bible. They are not Christians, and they can call themselves anything they want to, but they're not Christians. When I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about somebody who's born again, who is a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. And if you are called by his name and you are a Christian this morning, you should want to hear from him. You should want to read your Bible. You should want to think about it, meditate about it, meditate on it. That's what you should want to do. But you know, what I used to do, in fact, I've only done it a couple times, but one time I preached at a youth camp, and before I ever got started, 350 teenagers sitting out there, and boy, it was a wild youth camp. But anyway, 350 teenagers out there, and I started the sermon by holding up my Bible, and I said, okay, everybody hold up your Bible. And they all held their Bible. And I said, now, how many of you believe that Bible, word for word? Amen, preacher, amen. And I pointed out to them, I was like, you know what? You're in the minority. Because most Christians don't believe every word in this book. It's no longer a joy to them. The reason why that this Bible is a joy to me is because I know that every single word in that Bible is God's word to me. I know it's truth. I have placed my soul based on what it says in this book. I have trusted Jesus Christ because it said so to do so in this book. Everything I have, I laid it all on the table and said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you with it. Why? Because of what it says in this book. That's the reason it's a joy to me to read it. That's the reason I'm not going to let dust get on this thing. Question is, what does it mean to you this morning? Is it a task for you to read it? Or is it a joy for you to read it? It is God's letter to you. It is. And in there you're going to find warnings. I tell you that he warns you about things like any good father should. He tells you the consequences of things like any good father should. It gives you great advice on what you should and shouldn't do like any father should. And you should look forward to reading it. Even if it's unpleasant at times. Amen? Word of God, what does it mean to you? Let's pray.